Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. I hope that you recognize my name, because this is one of the groups of people that have invested in our lives in ministry, and so I hope you have been praying for us, and you're aware of us, and if you haven't been getting news of our ministry, because I see there's a letter up on the back bulletin board, so it's available there, but I noticed that most of the people were downstairs fellowshipping rather than reading the bulletin board. If you would like to get a personal copy, you can sign up downstairs, talk to me, get your email address, and we'll send you something personally so that you don't have to find your way to the bulletin board at the back and get something from there. Now, I know a few of you a little bit. Lance won't tell too many stories from high school. But most of you I don't know very well. So I want to ask a question. How many of you are in full-time Christian work? How many of you? Oh, there's only half, I see. Who do the rest of you work for?
I work for the government of Canada.
Yeah. Well, you know, what does it mean to be a full-time Christian worker? I'm a little bit I'm a bit concerned sometimes as we go around as a missionary. You know, you come to a church and you stand up and report the things that you've been doing. And that's good and it's proper, because it's sort of like a shareholders meeting, and I'll tell you about some things, and if you have some questions, be happy to take some questions about the things. But sometimes I think it reinforces a wrong idea that somehow missionary types are special people because they work for God, and then there's the rest of us that work for the government of Canada or somebody else. And that is an unfortunate idea, because really God has called us all to be full-time involved in His work. And whatever we're doing is to be done for Him, to do it as if He was the boss, and it is to glorify Him. And it doesn't matter whether you're in construction or food services or you're a housewife or a publican or a whatever, we're to do it as full-time Christian work. And that's an idea we have a hard time getting our heads around, because we don't usually think of that. We think, well, we'll do our ordinary things, and then as the Lord blesses us, we can invest in somebody that's really doing ministry kinds of things. But that's not really the way God has arranged for Christian life. This time here this morning is to get you ready for your full-time work that you do the rest of the week. You take a day off so that you can relax, get a breather, get charged up. And the real worship and the real work isn't done, Christian work isn't done here. And it isn't even done tomorrow evening. It should be done tomorrow morning, where you head off to work. And then this sort of extra things that'll happen tomorrow evening and the other evenings of this week I hear about, because God's placed you in the positions that He has gotten you to for a reason, because people there need to know about you, and the things that you do are things that God prepared from before He made the world. He wanted people in all kinds of ways, aspects of life, working and glorifying Him in the things they do. And worship isn't just something that we do when we sing on Sunday morning. It's something that we do when our lives are dedicated to Him. But I would like to tell you about some of the things that your investment in our lives is producing. Now, my wife said I shouldn't imply that people don't know what we're doing, but if I know myself, I forget real easy, you know. And so I'm going to review a little bit, and if it's all review, that's okay. And you can say, okay, yeah, I knew that. But I'd like to tell you about some of the things where God has moved us to. Now, we're going to start off with this picture. We live in a really very wonderful part of the world. It is just across the border from France and just across the border from Switzerland, about 15 kilometers from each. So we buy gas in Switzerland, not in the States, and we buy other things in France. Place right there near the border. Now, we went there 40 years ago. Now, I just noticed this is really not very clear. Is it possible to sharpen the picture? No. Okay, we'll just go with it. We went 40 years ago, or 31 years ago, just about exactly today. We got ready and headed to the Black Forest Academy. And Bill was introduced as a new person. We brought a couple of guests because we weren't sure if anybody from here would come and listen. So we figured, you know, we bring some other people along. Bill was was the director of Black Forest Academy in the early 1970s, and he was the one that came to the new name, Black Forest Academy, from the Jan's Team Missionary School, and that was a major step forward in that process. Now, let's see if we can get this working. Yeah, there it is. Black Forest Academy has a high school and an elementary school. The high school, in the last 10 years, moved from this building here, added the gymnasium and auditorium, and in the last couple of years has fixed up this building. It's only about 150 years old, and put a new roof on it and made it look something different. Has about 350 students. And the elementary school only has about 50 of those students because most of the students come and live in residences at Black Forest Academy because they come from all parts of Europe. The kids, great bunch of kids, small classes in many cases, especially in the elementary school. And the older in the high school, there's a lot of Korean students as well as Canadian and American. Koreans are about the same number as Canadians, and then there's the Americans, which are in majority. This room here with the choir is not our chapel, unfortunately, but our students get to go to visit various parts of Europe, and they went to Prague and had a chance to speak to sing in that beautiful cathedral. We were at Black Forest Academy for 21 years. 10 years ago, we left Black Forest Academy. It was not an easy time. You know, you have a job and you do it and you enjoy doing it and you think this is what God wants you to do, and then all of a sudden you're not doing that job anymore. And it's easier, especially if, you know, the choices and all the changes aren't your own. You know, then it makes it even more difficult. And we were wondering, what's God trying to do here? Well, the last 10 years, God's opened up a whole new range of things that I never dreamed possible. Some of the things we discovered had roots back in the time we were at BFA, but since that time, God's taken us to a whole variety of places. One of the places in the early 2001 was to go off to China. I didn't think China had really much to do with Europe. Didn't have much to do with what Jan's team traditionally did with evangelistic crusades and things of that nature. But I found that there were some very interesting schools right in the midst of what was happening in China. And God is doing some amazing things in China. Tens of millions of people are Christians. And the church has plans for all kinds of wonderful things. And they're moving forward. And had a chance to be involved in that. One of the schools that wasn't on this list was about 50 kilometers from the earthquake. They had to evacuate the school, but no one was injured. But these schools are some great places for God to minister. But schools are only for non-Chinese kids, because the government didn't like foreigners teaching their children. And so that's a kind of a major obstacle if you're in China, because you can't teach any Chinese kids. So they had had a long-term plan way back of training teachers. What they did is in their various classrooms and all, they'd take some national teachers and put them in as teacher aides so that they could help the international teachers of the school. So they learned what Christian education was all about. What makes an education that's Christian distinctively Christian? And how does that work? And last year, they began the first Christian school for Chinese nationals. They have plans for 1,000 in the next 10 years. And in July, have the opportunity to go back to train and work with some of these administrators and teachers that are starting Christian schools in China. Great open doors for ministry in that part of the world. One of the other places you got to was a place called Craiova, Romania. I'd been in Romania in the 90s talking about Christian education, and I didn't know what Christian education was about. I went to Burnaby North and to Alpha and to Brentwood Park. And I never had a Christian teacher in all that time, in all the 12 years I was at school. There were, I know of, two Christian teachers in the school. One was the principal of the elementary school. I knew he was a Christian because my parents told me he was. But I tried to avoid having a close, intimate relationship with the principal of the elementary school. And there was a Christian teacher at Alpha. She had the ISCF, and she had a real impact in our life, in my life, and a lot of other kids, but I never had her for a class, so I never saw a Christian teacher in my life until I got to Christian school, and that's a lot of people's experience. And I was going around in Romania trying to help people understand what a Christian school should look like, and the Lord was having to teach me a lot about that in the process. Ended up this place in Craiova, a little out-of-the-way place, hardly any Christians there. They're struggling to make an impact in their community. And one of the things they'd done was they had had stuff shipped from Germany to distribute, you know, to the poor people in Romania. There's a lot of poor people. And the ladies were having kids. And when the ladies were having kids, they couldn't distribute the clothing and sort through all of this stuff because the little kids were taking it. So they said, well, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a little play school for the kids, and then the ladies would be able to help at the thing. So we'll start a little play school, nursery, daycare. And so they did that. That was really interesting. But the people looked over the fence, saw the stuff, and said, well, why can't we send our kids? And within about two or three years, they had, going back here, three kindergartens. They were so enthusiastic, they even had dormitories for the kindergartens so that the kids could stay during the week at their kindergarten and get a Christian education. And now, none of the people planned to get involved in doing something in education, but that was something that God did. And you see, so I've had a chance to move around the world. I see that God is working in classrooms and in schools. That's a place, you know, sometimes we think God only works in special buildings like this on Sunday mornings, you know, and if we just get the people into a building, you know, like this, we invite them to come, then God will work. Well, God can work here, but he can work anywhere, and one of the places he's working right now is in classrooms and schools, because people are going, and they say, well, you know, the answer to life obviously has something to do with education, and go around the world, people do desperate things to provide an education for their kids. They will pay huge sums of money from their point of view to make sure that their kids have an education. Well, they think that's the answer. Well, we know that if you take and teach a person and you leave God out of what you teach, you really haven't helped them. You've made them a more skillful, intelligent, perhaps sinner. But unless the heart has changed in the whole process, unless they really have a understand that God's interested in all parts of life and they're and you're really helping them with that, you really haven't got any answers. But they were trying to do a Christian school. Kindergarten became a grade 1, and then a grade 2, and grade 3, grade 4, as God started to get people involved in what he was doing. It wasn't their plan, it was God's plan. And God has a plan to get Christians involved, I believe, in education around the world. 2.5 years ago, got a request from probably the most unlikely place that I could think of to go to help Christian schools, and that was Iraq. We were here 2 years ago. Does anybody remember anything that I said 2 years ago? You do? Okay, well, can't use those notes again.
Actually, I just remember that you were going to go to Iraq.
I was going to go to Iraq. Okay. Went to Iraq. Well, three Christian schools. Soleimania has about 400 students. Arbil has about 300, and Duhok has about 250. Big schools started by the church there. Very unusual schools, because they decided that they were going to hire the only teachers that were available, the local teachers. And they some wonderful kids, some wonderful teachers. And except if you hire local teachers, what kind of teachers do you get in Iraq if you hire local teachers? They would be Muslim, that's correct. Now, that's a little unusual for a Christian school, right, to have Muslim teachers in a Christian school. Well, how do you do that? Well, there are very few places in Iraq or in any place in the Middle East where you can get a group of teachers together to explain to them in detail, because they need to know, because they're teaching in a school based on the Bible and a Christian principles, what difference it makes to be a Christian. That how it's different from being Muslim, how it affects the way you look at students, and the way you look at life, and the way you look at the things that you teach and what's important, how you teach, how you discipline, and all the other things. Everything's different when you approach things from a Christian point of view rather than a Muslim one. And we had the opportunity to be involved with them, and this was one group of teachers I had, and we had some great discussions about that. God is at work through those things in schools. And it wasn't, again, somebody's plan, you know, oh, I think it'd be a good deal to have a school. No. A Christian pastor, started a home school for his daughters, who are very bright, and because he couldn't send them to their local schools, Saddam Hussein was messing with those, and that little homeschool grew because the friends and neighbors said, we'd like to be a part of that, to these large schools. And now here's this opportunity to make a difference in the Middle East. We had that summer a camp, and a day camp. Now, the pictures aren't too bright, but you have a day camp, had kids coming, 80 kids come. We met in the militia gym, and we had the militia standing around the outside listening to the songs and the stories and the other kinds of things. And we had a great time with those kids. I don't know where else in the Middle East you could have that kind of thing. Now, some of you have heard of the widow's mite, right? What's the widow's mite? Story from the Bible, right? You haven't got to it. You're studying through Luke, and you're at chapter 8. It comes 21. There's a lady that put in a little gift, and Jesus said, well, that was worth more than all the rest. This is a widow's mite. See that lady there? She was the cleaning lady at the gym. She had a little boy. He was about 3 years old. The camp was for kids from, you know, grades 1 to 8. So he didn't really fit, but, you know, he was there all the time because his mom was cleaning up the garbage and stuff around the gym, and he needed that. And she was just really thankful that everybody paid attention to her kid and was able to include him in the activities and such. At the end of the camp, we had a big special evening for all of the parents, and we had probably a couple hundred people there, lots of people, big party, all kinds of things to eat and drink and have a good time, and they really appreciated the camp that we were having with their kids. That lady who was the only one that gave a gift to everybody on the team. Sometimes it's not very much. Little plastic flowers. Doesn't impress, maybe. But that was all she had and more. So there's some very interesting things that were happening. Meet some interesting people and interesting things. A new thing that's happened in the last 2 years. Another place that's not necessarily on your list of the most likely place for Christian school is Morocco. Bill knows a little bit about Morocco. He was there before he came to Biforce Academy. Had to leave, and that's why I got him to BFA. But the George Washington School in Morocco is a large school for the elite of the country, complete with yellow school buses, because they figured if Americans use yellow school buses, they did too. But they're interested in partnering with Jan's team and another mission, Greater Europe Mission, to start another Christian school in Morocco. There's possibilities of doing things with schools that you can't do with anything else. And the new school in Marrakesh, we hope to have started in 2009, in September. Another Muslim country, Indonesia. Wasn't expecting to go there. Got a request in January, said, would you come over here and train Christian teachers in Indonesia? Well, I have heard lots of things about Indonesia and all the problems they give to Christians and problems. Well, that's not likely there. They have over 300 schools that are part of the Association of Christian Schools International. They have a national director. He's involved in training teachers. They have teachers signing up for monthly modules for a whole year that they come into and prepare to teach in their Christian schools. And they have a plan to reach out to the rural schools of the nation, sending out Christians into these rural Muslim schools to make a difference there. And it was great to meet some of the people, get involved with them, the teachers there. ACSI has an office on a little street, has people that are serving Christian schools there. This was another fellow. Can't tell you the whole story, but the young man there is the principal of Jakarta International School that advertises itself as the best school in the world, and it looks like it. I mean, 30 acres of garden, well cared for, tracks, gymnasiums, everything. God took him from a little New Mexican Christian school and put him there as the principal of that school. To make a difference in that country. The children in his classes in his school are the children of the leaders of the country. All the government leaders send their kids to that school, and he's there. And the director said, we want our school to be the best school for the world, and we think you might be able to help us. So God's taken him from one side of the world, put him in another place, to make a difference over there. March, we're in India, another place you hear a lot about. And I heard all kinds of stories about India and how terribly dirty and awful it was. And we went to a little school. It was very small. It would have been about like the front here, about half of this front area. It had 50 kindergarten kids in that school. They sit real close on the floor. Their parents collect gravel out of the riverbed to sell it. So they go among the stones on the bottom of the dry riverbed when it dries up, and they collect them and sell it. You get a pile of gravel and then sell that to a contractor. But they also have some bigger, nicer Christian schools because there's all kinds of different things happening there. Afterwards, we're at a conference for 70 Christian teachers. They came from 25 schools way up in the mountains near Tibet and Nepal. Little villages where everyone is a Hindu. except for a couple of Christian teachers that went up in the hills and started a school. Little place, doesn't have electricity, doesn't have anything that we think would be important to living up there, but they're there with a Christian school trying to figure out how that they can make a difference in that part of India. The opportunities are fantastic. The people are enthusiastic. They are wanting to learn, want to improve, and we're hoping to be back there in next March to go back to that area of the world. Well, those are some of the things that God has been involving us in. And you've had a part in it. I got to fly on the airplane, but you've had a part in us being able to go there. And we want to thank you for that, because without you, whatever we do really wouldn't be possible. But it's not only dollars that you have sent, I trust, but I'd like to ask that you particularly pray for us. In these parts of the world, as you go there, or you read something in the thing, we don't necessarily put everything down in the newsletters, because you can't write everything there. But you just think about a person that's living in a Muslim society where everybody else is different than you are, and you're trying to stand up for Christ and to illustrate by your life and by your teaching the difference that he makes and everything. That's difficult. In a Hindu society, it's the same. You look at life as a Hindu and you look at life as a Christian, very, very different. So you're different than everybody else. And these people have very hard situations. In India, the teachers maybe make $50, $60 a month. Very poor. And yet they're serving Christ there. Please pray for them. Pray that they would have wisdom to be able to communicate to their children a different way of looking at life. It's by the time the student gets to a university, their thinking about life is pretty much solidified. But in the elementary schools, these kids come and you have opportunities to teach them English and history and science and math, and you begin to show that God is interested in all those areas. He's relevant and involved, and it makes a difference. They can have a tremendous impact in their country, but it's not easy. You're on the front lines of what's happening, and the enemy doesn't give up territory easily. We need you to be able to pray. Giving money is easy. Praying is actually very hard. A third thing that you can do is to be thinking about being involved. If any of you are teachers, we have some places that would love to be able to talk to you about where they need people to go and make a difference. There are places we have one woman that's going to Iraq this summer, to the summer camp. You too could go to Iraq without the rifle and helmets. Other places, schools in all these different places need teachers. If we really want to change the world, the place to start may very well be in the school. If you're thinking about what does God want me to do, maybe God wants you to consider being a teacher. To take the gifts and experience and insights about life that he's given you and use those to make a difference in kids' lives. That's a big commitment. But whether he takes you to teach in a classroom or in the Sunday school or your children in the home, wherever you are, he wants to use you to make a difference. He wants you to glorify him wherever you are. I particularly work with teachers. That's a special thing, and I'm kind of prejudiced about teachers. After all, you know, the Great Commission where Jesus sent out his disciples, and he said, while going in all the world, make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. See, so it's Great Commission work to be involved as a teacher. It's really important stuff. That's what he's given to all of
his disciples to do. Peter said, well, I'm just a fisherman, maybe. But Jesus told him to go and be involved in teaching and making disciples. Ask you, who are your disciples? Have you some disciples? Do you know who they are? Can you make disciples if you don't know who they are? I don't know. And that's a question I ask myself, too. It's hard. You know, it's easy to go in someplace and you come in for 2 weeks or and then you fly away again and you're not sure when you'll next come back. But is that really making disciples? I'm not sure. You probably have a better chance of making some disciples than I do in those situations. Who are your disciples? Are you doing it? Are you teaching them that really Christ makes a difference in every area of life? I trust that you will. I thank you for your work, and there are some things downstairs. If you want to find some more things, there's some pens. You can take them, and they have website, Transforming Teachers, and they can act as a reminder to pray. There's some things about investment opportunities in our ministry, guaranteed results. Jesus said the teachers will make a difference. Students will become like their teachers. That's a guarantee from Jesus. Out of this world dividends, literally, some possibilities. If you'd like to pick those up, sign up for getting some news from us, and we'd really be happy to involve you more and continue to involve you in our ministry. I said I'd leave a few minutes for questions, and I realize it's 5 after if you've been watching your clock, but if you have some questions, I'd be very happy to answer them. Explained it all perfectly. Okay.
Are there a lot of English-speaking schools, or do you need
a
language?
Many parts of the world, English education is really desirable. In India, for instance, all of these schools were English language schools, English medium schools. Unfortunately, the teachers had a hard time understanding presentations in English, but whatever they could give the students in English was thought desirable. So many places, that's very helpful. We're not, when you're talking about national schools where you would have other languages, the better thing to do is to be involved in helping the national teachers do the work themselves. But in many of these places, if having a foreign teacher to be able to strengthen the English offerings that they have in the school be a real help. Yes?
Have you ever heard of any schools in the former Soviet Union area?
In the which area?
Former Soviet Union,
yes. One of the co-workers came from Kyrgyzstan, and there was a small school there for missionary kids, but her goal is in a year's time, in 2009, to have a Kyrgyz Christian school started there. And we have also contacts in Kazakhstan. Those are mostly, again, with missionary kids' schools. Jan's team is, however, moving just thinking about missionary kids' schools to thinking about all the kids. It's great to have a Christian school for missionaries, but what about all of the national kids that also need to have a Christian environment, Christian understanding of life and learning? And so we're working with establishing those kinds of things. And through there's a lot of national Christian schools in the Ukraine, in Azerbaijan, just about any place that you would care to name. There are some. I have contact with a couple in Azerbaijan as well. So we're trying to encourage that. We're calling it missional Christian education, intentional involvement in what God is doing to draw people to himself through education. And that's something that doesn't happen just accidentally. It can be intentional involvement, and that's what we want to encourage people to be involved with. Any other questions? Yes?
What does Jan's team mean?
Well, Jan's is a family name like Clausen, except a little rarer. They had a group of people that started a work in Germany and Switzerland with evangelistic crusades and things of that nature, and they called it a Jan's team. And Sounds like in German it sounds like Tanzteam, which is a dance team, but it isn't that at all. It's just an evangelistic organization. You have national organizations in different countries. You have here in North America, in Brazil, in Belarus, in France, Germany, Switzerland, Portugal, and the UK, in different places. You'll probably be hearing more in the future about Teach Beyond, which is the emphasis we're having on missional Christian education here in North America and for people moving out to other parts of the world. So that'll be a name that you hear more about, and that's more suggestive of what we're doing. Okay, any other questions? Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you. Can I pray with you as well as we close? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you involve us in what you're doing. That you came here to earth to be a man, not only to die for us, but to show us that it is possible to live in this world in the power of the Holy Spirit, guided and directed by our Heavenly Father, in such a way that everything that we do would bring glory and honor to you. And we ask that that would be our experience, that we would submit to your Holy Spirit and allow you to work through us, so that whether we're in construction like you were, whether we prepare meals like you did, or whether we teach like you did, whatever we do, you would be pleased, and that we would not just be serving you, but that you would be able to use us to serve others and to make a difference in this world. The world would see that you really are God, that you are great, and that you love us and care for us. But we pray in Jesus' name.